A spending deal is emerging in Congress to avoid a government shutdown on Friday night. It reportedly does not include any deportation protections for young immigrants who were brought here as children. Now, that's something Democrats wanted. The plan does include some money for barriers along the border with Mexico, but not for President Trump's wall.
And aides to the president are warning that it's a fireable offense for anyone inside the White House to leak the president's briefing papers. Now, you've probably heard reports today that just days after the U.S. sanctioned Russia for election interference, Trump made a call to newly reelected President Putin and congratulated him on his victory. Trump said so to the press. But apparently he did so, that congratulations, against advice, because the leaked briefing papers read, "Do not congratulate," in big capital letters. And then there's Cambridge Analytica, the firm founded by Trump backers Steve Bannon and Robert Mercer, that used 50 million Facebook users' data to influence voters in 2016. So let's bring in our political strategist in the midweek. This week we have John Brabender, the Republican strategist. Hi, John.
Hello. How are you doing?
And Bob Schrum, the Democratic strategist who now teaches at the University of Southern California. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. And let me set up a question here for you on Cambridge Analytica, because it's not just the Facebook hoovering of private information that is upsetting some people. There's a Channel 4 investigation in Britain that shows Cambridge Analytica's Alexander Nix saying he can hire prostitutes and give bribes to sway elections. This is an undercover video. And then this.
Have you met with Mr. Trump?
Many times.
You have?
We did all the research, all the data, all the analytics, all the targeting. We ran all the digital campaign, the television campaign, and our data informed all the strategy.
So, John Brabender, let's start with you. The AP's already reported that former Trump advisor Michael Flynn, who pled guilty in the Russia investigation, was briefly a Cambridge Analytica advisor. Special counsel Robert Mueller is said to have asked Cambridge Analytica for emails. Congressman Trey Gowdy said that an email from Cambridge Analytica was part of the basis for the Russia investigation. What would you advise the White House to do about the fact that this company's in the spotlight and it worked for the Trump campaign?
Well, I think the difficulty here is understanding what did or did they not do for the campaign. And I have a little bit of firsthand knowledge about that. At the urging of Steve Bannon and Rebecca Mercer, I did meet with this firm on other campaigns I was working on. And I found them to be okay, but nothing unique. They did not talk about some of the Facebook data they had to me. I would certainly not have been interested. But I did not hire them for any of my campaigns because I didn't see any real advantage they have. I do know who was responsible for the digital and the data within the Trump campaign, and it was Brad Parscales. It certainly was not Alexander Nix. And so I think Bob would be the first to agree, because he's done a number of presidential races like I have myself. And it's amazing when a presidential race does well, you find that there's a million consultants who all of a sudden that you didn't even see there take an incredible amount of credit for things they didn't do. And if you don't do well, it's like nobody ever worked on the race. And so I am very skeptical of any impact they really had on the Trump campaign. But I do find some of the things that we've learned, particularly the hidden camera, I find all that very troubling.
Do you think that this ends up hurting the White House, whether it should or not, John? I mean, it just the connections are there. You know, it has a bad appearance in the anyways.
Well, look, I you know, there's always something new that you can say, is this going to hurt the White House? This particular item, I think, is very, very inside baseball to the average person. I think that they see much bigger pictures out there, both positively and negatively, that they're concerned about. I think this is one of those stories that we will not be talking about 2 weeks from now.
You know, it's funny. I want to get to you, Bob. But, John, we're hearing elsewhere in the show that people in Britain are outraged because they're finding out that Cambridge Analytica was very active in the Brexit vote. But, Bob, would you be the first one to agree with John Brabender, as he said, that, you know, sometimes people claim credit and shouldn't get it?
Oh, sure, that's true. But what's also true here is Cambridge Analytica is in big trouble. The White House has a world of hurt right now, but it's not necessarily because of this. We won't know. I think the special counsel will go into this, the British Parliament will go into this, and we'll get some better idea of what role they actually played in the campaign, how connected it was, if at all, to the alleged Russian interference, and what impact they may have had. But John is certainly right with his overall point. If you win, everybody is the father of that victory, and if you lose, victory is an orphan.
Yeah, Bob, that's why I wonder if there is not a lesson here for Democrats, because we know that both parties have a serious interest in collecting voter data. This is how elections are being run now in this country, and certainly how they will be run far into the future. I mean, having the edge is the key. I mean, just this, the shoe could be on the Democrats' foot down the road.
Well, you got to be very careful about this, because everybody is always attracted to the latest bells and whistles, the new bright, shiny object. And the Clinton campaign really focused on data analytics to the extent, for example, that it did not poll in the battleground states in the last 2 weeks. That was a terrible mistake. And one thing that I think endures is that message matters. McLuhan was wrong. The medium is not the message. Donald Trump won the election, I think, because in those critical Rust Belt states, he won the message war. Yeah. He gave people an explanation for why they were in trouble. It was immigration. It was foreign trade. I don't happen to agree with what he said, but he gave them a simple explanation. And only 9% of Hillary Clinton's ads ever mentioned jobs or the economy. So in a way, the Clinton campaign invested very heavily in data analytics. The campaign manager was someone from data analytics, relied on it very heavily, and lost the message war to Donald Trump.
And when you say data analytics, you're not, this is a set, it's not the company Cambridge Analytics, which again, some people are more upset by the sordid things they said in the tapes. But I just want to point out one thing. I'll let you jump in there, John. But we spoke to the professor, David Carroll, on Monday, who's suing Cambridge Analytics. And he pointed out as well, he got the spreadsheet of the information that was taken from his Facebook page. He says it's not even true. It's not even accurate how they're sort of characterizing him and casting him. So, you know, beware there. John, I wanted to move on to the to Russia, but did you want to jump in?
Yeah, I do. It's interesting because it's so rare these days in Washington that people of opposite sides agree. But I have to come in and agree 1,000% with Bob. And
you heard it right here on this show.
Yes.
Yeah. Collectively, I've also figured it out. We have over 60 years of consulting services together. But he got this absolutely right. What happens today, campaigns are always now looking for the secret sauce.
Which is what Cambridge Analytics said they had.
And I see campaigns falling that over and over again, and the campaigns overspend on it and everything else, when it really does come down to message. And I would say Bob was 100% right. The Clinton people fell into the exact same trap. And what they never did is went to what I would call blue-collar conservative Democrats and gave them a message at the end of how Hillary Clinton was going to fight for them. Yep. What was she going to do for them? And I really do think that's why Donald Trump won more than anything.
John, I got to ask you, what was President Trump thinking against his advisors, congratulating Vladimir Putin on his pretty much fixed reelection?
Yeah, I agree with his advisors. I thought it certainly was a mistake. And I fall in the camp that say, look, I don't mind if we're going to have a good relationship with Russia, because there's no such thing as perfect allies anymore in the world that we live in. But oftentimes we have common enemies, and with Russia, we do. So we're always going to have an imperfect relationship with Russia. However, it does seem that on both sides of the aisle, we should first be speaking in a singular voice that we agree they interfered with our elections. We're going to take swift and strong actions to make sure it never happens again, and talk in a single voice and be critical of Russia for that. Then maybe we can move on. But to sort of not talk strong enough in that area, congratulate what obviously was a faux election, not a real election, I do find a little bit concerning.
Bob, your thoughts on this? Even President Obama supposedly congratulated Putin after an election, too. Is it a double standard here at all?
I don't think so, because we've come a long distance from Putin's last election. We had tensions with the Russians at that point. We didn't have the kinds of problems we have today, including, as John just referenced, the allegations about Russian interference in the 2016 election. The president is undisciplined. He basically does what he wants to do on the spur of the moment. I think his advisors were right. He shouldn't have done this. They could have had a very formal kind of call where he didn't have to say congratulations. He could have brought up the poisoning of the Russian former Russian spy who turned into a British spy or an American spy who was living in Salisbury, England. He could have done those kinds of things. But it was stunning to see him do this. John McCain is right. The leader of the free world doesn't do it. And even more stunning was that someone in the White House staff leaked the whole story out.
Yeah. I got to get one question into John. The legal fight that President Trump is in with now three women. Law professor Jonathan Turley says the improprieties in the Stormy Daniels story, she was paid off $130,000 to be quiet. This is a bigger problem for Trump than the Russia investigation. Your thoughts? I got about a minute here.
Well, look, we went through the whole Billy Bush tape and everything else. Voters knew when they walked in there on Election Day everything they needed to know about Donald Trump.
I think he's talking about the payoffs and the the lawsuits.
Look, I think these all fall under that same umbrella. And I you know, one other thing, some of the women I think are very credible and have a right to stand forward. Stormy Daniels bothers me more than any of them for this reason, and I don't see this reported anywhere. In 2010, the Democrats put an ad out on Craigslist saying they're looking for an adult film star to run as a Republican for Senate to create havoc in the Republican Senate campaign.
Oh, you just dropped a stink bomb. We only have 15 seconds.
And you know who answered that?
Yeah, by the way,
can
I make clear, I disagree. I disagree with John there.
Stormy Daniels,
Stormy
who
Daniels
announced
responded.
She would run as a Republican.
We're going to promise to research that. John Brabender, Bob Schrum, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
This is
Take
here
care.
Now.